You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, all right. Okay, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 133. Simple psalm. Nothing deep. You know, Brother Osteen used to say, you know, we like steak and potatoes. He said sometimes we just need cornbread and beans. Sometimes the simple messages that we miss, the simple things that we let slip. I don't think it's great, deep, complicated revelations that you're missing out on that's causing you all the trouble. I think what's causing all the trouble in your life, my life, is the very simple things that we know we're not doing. I mean, we know more than we think we know. Amen. We got enough scripture to change the world, change our family, save our marriage, get healed, get filled with the Holy Ghost, get our finances back in order. We just got to get with the program, start doing the Word and utilizing what we already have on the inside of us. Most preaching and teaching is reminding, not so much giving you new information, just reminding you of what you already know. Most of your amens and yeah, that's right, are something you already agree with. Amen. That's right. I mean, that's why we're amening, because we already heard it. We agree with that. We agree with that. Usually the new stuff, you don't say much about at all. When I come out with something new, y'all are going, right, quiet, you know, because you're thinking about it. But it's the stuff we all know. We go, amen, woo. Yeah, because we know it. But I think a lot of teaching is just reminding. I think as Alexander Pope said, you must teach as if you taught them not and bring out things unknown as if forgot. And that's true. You know, you've heard it here, you've heard it there, you read it here, you read it there. I just get in here under the anointing, begin to preach, and all of a sudden it comes alive. But it comes alive because you heard it before. Amen. You got the puzzle, the pieces to the puzzle, they just started connecting. You started putting them together. It was all the form, the image was there, but the fog starts to dissipate. Revelation starts to flow. Light starts coming. And what you've always seen or looked at or heard all of a sudden becomes clear. Things become clear by approach. And so that's why we need church. We need to get together. Amen. You know, church is a God thing. It's not a man thing. You know, I often hear people say, well, I pray. I read my Bible. I'm not really into church. Well, you're just not into what God started, because God started church. Man didn't start church. Man has messed up some churches. I understand that. And I've messed up a lot of stuff myself. How about you? But I didn't get an amen on that one. But anyway. But the idea of church is a Bible idea. It's a God concept. It's something God started. And everybody ought to be in church. Woohoo! Thank God for church. The fellowship, just the unity, the joining together, the getting together. There's anointing and a presence in church that's just not there as an individually when you're there by yourself. I mean, there's a presence that comes when you pray, sure. And you can sense God, no doubt. And it's a special thing, no question. But it's not the church thing. Church thing's a different thing. Now, obviously, church won't take care of your private time. You need to spend time with God. You need to read your Bible. You need to serve God when you leave this building. But one doesn't replace the other. That's what we're saying. You say, well, I pray. Well, good, you should pray. But praying doesn't take up for not reading. You need to read the Bible, too. Amen. And if you read the Bible a lot, that doesn't make up for not praying. And so, you know, we want the whole counsel of God. We want it to be balanced. And the way to be balanced is to follow the whole counsel of God. And so that's why we have church and why we get together. And you hear about missionaries. And we, you know, because of all of us getting together and having church and supporting the work of God around the world, missionaries like Carl and Marina are still out there on the field. And still doing the work they're doing because of churches, because of people that support. And it takes all of us to make it happen. And all of us together, it's teamwork, it makes the dream work. And there's no I in team. You can rearrange the letters, mess it all up, make me out of it, but that's the best you could do. There's no I in team. T-E-A-M. Hallelujah. And even I as a pastor, I'm not a lone ranger. I'm not the star of the show. You know, it can't work that way. In fact, a leader, if you think you're leading and nobody's following, you're just out taking a walk. So, okay. This is going to be a tough 10 minutes. I'm done. Y'all going to have to help me. Anyway, Psalms 133, very short psalm, not very long. I'm reading out of New King James Version here. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Woo, hallelujah. When we get together and we get along, you know, you're not going to get very far if you don't learn to get along with people. I think one of the greatest studies, if you want to put your effort into something and develop in your life, you know, things that you need to work on or we all need to work on, one of the greatest things that we need to develop in our life is the ability to work with others. I don't think there's any question about that, because you're not going to get very far just by yourself. It's like a man said one time, he was getting ready to die, and I asked him if he could live his whole life over again, what would he do? And he said, I think I'd get some help. You know, I would ask for some help instead of trying to do everything by myself. And church does that. It joins the, you know, the foot bone to the leg bone's connected to the, you know, hip bone, you know the song. It gets us connected, so we're not just isolated out here. You may have a tremendous talent, a tremendous gift, but that gift is for others. It's always for others. I mean, if I'm anointed to preach or teach, that means there has to be people I'm preaching, teaching to. You know, or does, what's the benefit? What's the purpose of it? Anything that you're talented with or gifted with or blessed financially or just your faith in praying and standing in on the Word of God is not just for you. It's always for others. It always includes other people. You know, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Think about it. The anointing, the Spirit was on him to preach the gospel to the poor. The anointing was not on him for himself. It was on him for others. You know, and then he said, of course, to heal the brokenhearted and cover his sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. All those things, suffering, sighing, dying, humanity, they need you. You say, well, I'm okay. Yeah, but you know, the world needs you to serve God. They need your marriage to make it. They need you to be on top of your game, as it were. They need you to walk in love. They need you to have character and integrity and faithfulness and honor and loyalty and all these things that we're missing in the society we live in. The world is looking for leaders, mentors, and models. And, you know, it's bigger than you. Your children need it. Your husband, your wife, your parents, your friends, the people you work with. You need to serve. I need to serve God. And I need to do that with others. You strengthen me. You make me a better man. You make me a better Christian. Being here in this church, having you as a group and as assembly that I know is praying for me, and I know that is supporting me and standing behind me, that is here, listens to me, and I don't know why you keep coming back, but you come back week after week to hear me preach, you know. And some, I tell the same jokes, and you still laugh out of them. You laugh at them just like the first time I ever told them. But I need you as much as you need me. We need each other. We make each other better people by what God has placed inside of us. And when we get together, oh my, I'm telling you, it is good and it is pleasant when the brethren dwell together in unity. When we see the value in each other, we're not just criticizing each other, and we're not just yeah-yeahing about this person or that person or what they wore or didn't wear or wear or whatever. You know, who cares? I mean, I know I wear a suit and a tie, but you don't have to wear a suit and tie to serve God. I just do it because, well, I'm just old school, you know. I'm a dinosaur in some ways. On Wednesdays, I dress down a little bit, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you got jeans on or are you out there. And it doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or yellow or green or you got polka dots. I don't care. God doesn't care. It doesn't matter how you wear your hair. And you know, I mean, come on. We have, every one of us has value. Every one of us has potential. And of course, we all have our quirks. Just don't extrapolate that. Don't overlay that on somebody else. Listen, everybody's normal till you get to know them. I mean, we think we're the only normal people, you know, but there's all kinds of people. We ought to see value in each other. It's so good to get together and get in church and just soak up the presence of God and know that you're loved and know that you're appreciated. You know, people just want to be loved. They want to be appreciated. They want to be understood. They want to be heard. They want to know that they're needed. Are you with me? And you know, God needs you. He needs every one of you. Every single one of you have something to add, something that you're gifted with. I think it was Einstein said this. I read this on, it's like his Facebook. Oh, by the way, Facebook, I'm a lurker. If you think I'm going to post something, you just don't hold your breath. I might post something, but I'm lurking. I'm watching all the members on Facebook. Find out where y'all are, that's for sure. No, but I was reading on Facebook the other day. I thought it was pretty good. Einstein said everybody's a genius, but if you know, if you try to teach a fish to climb a tree, he's going to feel like an idiot. are out there. Put him in the water, he shines. Isn't that right? Put a monkey in a tree, he climbs, you know. You go right on down the list. All of us have gifts. We're all good. We're all, you know, have something to add. God has given us something. We're just not all the same thing. Thank God. Thank God. But, you know, there's a day you're going to need that fish. When the monkey needs to step aside and the fish needs to swim or whatever. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to make a mess of that. I keep trying to make a sermon out of it. But value, we all have value. See, and we ought to appreciate each other, and we ought to see each other in the light of God. I think of the aloofness is what they do. I hear missionaries and I think, man, I'm just not doing anything. I think, but I am doing something. I'm doing something here. Hallelujah. Each one of us has a place, and it takes all of us to make this thing happen. Ooh, I love that. And that's why God said it's so good, so pleasant. It is just, isn't it pleasant to be in a church where there just aren't any problems? If there are problems, I don't want to hear about it. Don't come telling me. Because I'm just, leave me in my delusion. Ignorance is bliss here. I think everything's fine, and I want it to stay that way. So don't come telling me problems. I don't want to hear them. We have such a blessed church. I mean, we really do. I'm not saying we don't confront problems when they come up. I mean, I do that. I'm too good at that. I've got to learn. I've been learning over the years to be kinder, nicer. You know, no one gets old and wish they'd been harder, meaner. Wish I'd have chewed out more people, you know. You get older, you wish you'd been a little more merciful, a little more understanding, a little kinder. Hallelujah. And church should be a refuge. It should be a place of hope, healing, place of deliverance, place of, when you know you love, you walk in, you sense the presence of God, and you count, and you're somebody, and you got a future and a hope and a destiny. Hallelujah. You got a God that loves you. You got a people that'll stand with you, that'll believe with you and pray with you. That's what church is. Church is a safe haven in the storms of life. It's a place where you get together and praise God. We worship our God, our Father, our Heavenly Father. We give Him glory. We sit at His feet, listen to what He has to say to us today. We hear reports from a strange land. Hello. From a far land of how God is moving in the mountains of Oaxaca. You know, it's a wonderful place. Thank God for church. I thank God for church. I really do. I love the church. I'm a church guy. I really am. We go on vacation, we go to church. I mean, we look for places to worship because God is moving all around the world. And you don't find it in the newspaper. The newspaper doesn't report these kinds of things. You have to find God's people and get hooked up with them. And if you're in a local community, you ought to be in a local church. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a pleasant thing for brethren to dwell together in unity as a unit. Hallelujah. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron that was the priesthood, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like oil coming down from heaven. I love that. You know, when there's love, where there's love, and where there's unity, and where there's agreement, you're not all tensed, you're not all stressed out, you're not all, you know, hanging on every word, hoping you say everything just right. You ever get around some people and you're always having to perform, you know? You have to make sure you say this right and say that right. Oh, and you don't know how they're going to take it. You don't know. You know, there's not a lot of unity. There's friction there. There's stress there. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Well, that's not good. That is, strife's not good. Stress not good. It's not God. And there are always going to be people that way that you need to pray for. Sometimes you need to work on yourself. It may be something in your life that you need to work on. But you need you need people of agreement. You need people that you can feel comfortable with, as it were. Church should be a place like that, where if you're confessing your sin, it's not a place where everybody's going to make fun of you or go out and talk about you, but it's a place where you can really get some help, and people care about you, and they want to help you. You know, everybody has a past. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. We got no stones to throw. I don't know where you've been or what you've done, but I know Jesus loves you, and we love you. And people in here have lived lives that would just shock you if you knew what they used to be, if you knew what I used to be, what I used to do, I mean, before I got saved. But, you know, that's all in the past, hallelujah. Now we're in the presence of God. Now we're in together in unity. Now we're in church, hallelujah. A place of healing and hope, place of deliverance, place of love, place with a future, praise God. We have a future, amen? And it's like oil coming down on top of the head, oil. I've sensed the presence of God before like warm oil. Have you ever had that happen? I remember one time I was in Lakewood Church. Brent and I were in the early days, 75, 76 maybe, at the latest, 76. And we were worshiping God. That's probably the latter part of 75. We were worshiping God and during the worship service. And I mean, the Holy Ghost came down. And everybody just started worshiping God. And I saw like the, you ever heard of the Shekinah glory? Like a cloud came in. Like a fog. It was just thick. And the guy beside me had glasses. Kept pulling his glasses off. Checking out his glasses and putting them back on. Kept doing that. My God, he said, what is this? What is this? He'd come from another denomination with us over there, and he didn't quite understand it. And it was just supernatural. And when it kind of subsided, and Brother Osteen ran up to the pulpit, you know, and was going to say something about the Holy Spirit overflowing the walls of the churches, that God's not trying to tear down different denominations. The Holy Spirit just overflows walls of denomination, brings us all together. And this little lady comes up to the edge of the platform and stands there, and Brother Osteen steps down and is talking to her and hands her the microphone. She comes back up to the platform, and she says, when we were praising God and that cloud just rolled in and everyone started jumping and shouting, I looked up and the roof of the building came off. And I looked up and I saw heaven. And I saw Jesus standing on a throne with a vial of oil. And he was bending over and he was pouring it down on top of us. Just like that. And when she said that, the Holy Ghost hit again. Woo! I mean, everybody jumped up out of their seats. She no more got that bottle tipped over. And when that oil hit us all again, and we all began to praise and worship, and oh, man, it was an awesome experience. But I think about that when I think of this. It's like the oil coming down from the top down, see, from the priesthood down. Of course, our priest is Jesus. And comes down upon us and runs down. It just covers us all over from the top of our head to the tip of our toe. Where's that come from? It comes from unity. It comes from being in agreement. It comes from people getting together and serving God. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It comes from what Jesus said, when two agree as touching anything they ask of my Father in heaven, I'll give it to them. It comes from the power of two people, three people, four people, and it just increases from there. Amen? Getting together. It is like the dew of Hermon, third verse, descending upon the mountains of Zion. Dew is freshness. Oil is the anointing. If you want the anointing on your life and you want freshness in the morning, hallelujah. Boy, I need freshness in the morning. It takes me about two cups of coffee to wake up in the morning. Lots of times I get up, you know, eat a bowl of cereal, drink a cup of coffee, come to the office, drink another cup of coffee, and I wake up at my desk at 9 or 10 o'clock. Wow, I'm awake now. I'm just not a morning person. I mean, I get up, I had to go through the motions, but Brenda wakes up like this. She just wide awake. It takes me a while to get there, but. But there's a freshness from getting together. It's a love getting around friends, don't you? Love getting around people that love God. Love getting around churches, believe like we do, you know, where you just fit in and you flow and hallelujah. It's like oil, it's like anointing. It's fresh, like dew, it's fresh. It says it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Zion is the church, that's what he's talking about. Flowing down the mountains of the church. For the Lord come there, everybody say there. There where, let me wrap this up, there is where there is unity. There is where the church gets together and the anointing is there and the freshness of the Spirit is there. There is where unity is, and there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. You can't be in this kind of situation where the blessing of God doesn't come on you. God commands the blessing in those types of environment. You get an environment of faith, an environment of unity, an environment of love where people really love each other. Then the blessing of God from heaven, God commands it, will come upon you.